this very moment, will you all stop working? Will you just settle in? Or something in you says, okay, now he's going to talk? And you kind of relax, and you just sort of... That's the essence of meditation. It's not trying, it's not doing anything, it's not making any effort. It's just surrendering to the comfort, if you will, or the essence of just being. Huh. And all of you arrive at that at the end of an hour of sitting. Every one of you now has achieved a kind of, thank God that's over. Okay, now I can just be quiet. I can just relax. I can just be me. That's where you want to live. That's your spiritual life. You're not thinking about tomorrow. You're not worrying about anything. You're just here. And it feels really comfortable. It's very simple. It's unchallenged. It's not even something you think about. If anything, you stop thinking. It's like, oh. Essentially, arriving at that place is when you stop trying to arrive at that place. Rudy called it surrender. Just let go. Just be. But Rudy was very aware of how resistant we were to surrender. We're so afraid of not being on guard, in charge, on top of it, working the system, doing what we have to do. And so he taught us this whole exercise of asking for help to just be. And in a funny way, it really, really works, because once you've spent an hour making the effort to just be, there comes a moment where you just stop doing that, and you find, if you're lucky and conscious, that you're just being. In Rudy's class, we used to have the meditation downstairs, and then we would go upstairs, and we would have a little dinner and just sit around, and then the class would start again, often while we were still eating. Rudy would start working with everybody. And you could watch people go from the eating mode, comfortable, quiet, simple, present, into, uh-oh, now I got to do this again. I got to work. And in truth, at that moment, you sort of leave behind the effortless and you return to effort. It's funny to think that this is possibly the case, but Rudy was using effort to get us to those in-between moments where we were truly present. And I always remember being upstairs with Rudy, just sitting there before, or if you will, between efforts, that I always felt my best. I always felt like, I am so lucky to be here. I am so grateful to be in the presence of this man and to be in the presence of somebody who knew how to teach me to make an effort. But in truth, it's when I wasn't making the effort that I really, really was present with Rudy. It's when he would look at me at that moment and smile and I would fall over on the floor because I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't trying to do anything. The real energy just was there. in that space. And it was beautiful. It was always beautiful. I can't tell you that was Rudy's intention, but it was certainly the effect. Being in Rudy's presence, whether it was working or not working, always somehow brought you to a place of deep stillness, focus, a relaxing of your need to be somewhere else. You really were brought into the moment with Rudy. And it could happen in his store. It was exactly the same thing. You would walk into the store and you'd have, you know, your coat on, and it was either cold outside or no coat, and it was hot outside, and it felt great to be in the store. And Rudy was sitting down at his desk in the middle of the store, and you had to walk what I used to call the gauntlet from the front of the store all the way to his desk, and he would look at you, and you would feel nothing but how unopened you were and how tense you were and how much the day was weighing on you and all this awful stuff. And then he would just smile at you, and it would go, it would fall away. The day would just fall away. And he would say, "Want a cup of tea? Sit down." And he'd have somebody bring tea often, or he would tell you to make tea, whatever he felt was the right thing of the moment. And you would just sit there with Rudy. And it would be so easy. It's like you had just come home. You've just come into the place of well-being, of embrace. And you would be there, and then you would notice something happening. And that is, he would stop talking. And you went, uh-oh. Now I have to do my number. Now I have to perform. Now I have to get still. And you would start this process of getting very centered. And then in a strange way, the store would like disappear. And Rudy would sort of disappear. And you would kind of disappear. And you, for a little bit of time, wouldn't know exactly where you were or who you were, except you were there. You were just there. And being there seemed to be meaningful. And sometimes you would take a breath and try to become more there. I'm not sure what more there is, but to be more there seemed to be less in your mind and more full of energy. And you would feel this fullness of energy. And then, unexpectedly, Rudy would kind of start to talk. "So, how was your day?" You would go, "You don't even know where you are. My day, what day? Who am I, where am I, what are you talking about?" But it would all come back very quickly, and you would be present with Rudy, and you would no longer be floating in a larger space. You would be in the immediate space of this teacher. And somehow, having gone to that larger space, whatever that is, made being right here and now with Rudy more real. It became very real. Even talking about the day became more real. And you, without understanding any of this, you simply felt in touch with what is. And nobody pointed it out. Rudy wouldn't say, "This is it." But he almost didn't have to, because in a way you knew this is it. This is it. I found what I needed. I found a connection to truth and the moment and somebody who represented that and who used various energy configurations, working with energy to kind of remold your attention so that you could be aware that this was it. Because the biggest problem for people working spiritually is they miss it. Because they keep thinking it's the other, that you have to get to there. And what you start to feel after years and years of practice is all that there does is helps you to recognize here. Here and now. And of course, the amazing thing about here and now is that it's always here and now. It's always here. And the only thing that's not here and now is you. And of course, you're here and now, but you're, you know, into the, you know, the noise of the day, the drama of the day, the stuff that keeps you spinning around and around and around. And even that's here and now. And if you can recognize that, you can go, wow, that's how this works. All of that is part of it. It's all part of it. There's nothing that's not part of it. And there starts to become a growing awareness that you can't ever get away from this. It's completely real. This is reality. You're in it. And everybody you are with is reality. It's your reality. It's not somebody else's reality, it's your reality. This is it, guys. And then you have to figure out, what do you do with your reality? Well, you kind of have two choices. One is to accept it and the other is to reject it. To be present with it or to say, I don't want to be here. And the I don't want to be here seems to be what drives most people. I want to be somewhere, I want a different reality. I want to get to that reality or some reality that's more interesting or without that person in it or without those people in it or without that job or without whatever the thing is that you're trying to get to that's going to be better than, different than this reality. But of course, the only reality you're going to get to is reality. Whatever it's going to be, you can make all of these efforts. You can spend a lifetime making efforts to get to another reality. But once you get there, of course, you're right here. And although you may think everything has changed because you're in a bigger house or a nicer apartment or you're in a marriage or you're in a, away from a marriage, whatever the reality has changed, you're still this. You're this. And it's real. It's completely real until it's not. But what else is there but where you are? And what's your real practice? Rudy said our practice is surrender. I use the word now accept. Just accept this. Accept this. What does it take to accept this? Well, that's spiritual practice. If you want to know spiritual work, accept what is. It's fine to reject it. If you want, you can do anything you want. But accepting what is a deep and profound work. Surrender is a deep and profound work. The question is always, where does this all lead? Where are we going with this? And most spiritual teachings will talk about enlightenment. That there is an arrival at a thing called enlightenment or awakening. And one of the things you begin to hear when you speak with people or you read about people who have been enlightened or awakened is that you can't make it happen. You can't do it. It has nothing to do with your effort. Or let's put it a little more simply. The awakening does not happen. You do not awaken. You do not awaken. The thing which is, if you will, dreaming you awakens. What you can do is live a life of conscious awareness. You can live a life in tune with the reality of your existence. And what does that do? It begins to wipe away all of these little filaments or membranes that separate you from truth. Every time you try to accept what is, you will begin to see how much you resist it. And you will begin to see how much you don't like what is, how much it's not satisfying you on some egoistic level. And as you make an adjustment in yourself to say, okay, I accept this, and truly do that, and you keep doing that, it washes away the membranes that are created by your resistance, and the clarity of your being becomes enhanced, if you will. Whether that actually leads to enlightenment and awakening, it is a process of growing lighter and more awake. And that's all you can really do spiritually. Hand yourself over to this process of being here and being here now. And if you really practice that diligently, I believe you will either awaken or live a life that is very much like the awakened life, that is a highly spiritual state of being. And that highly spiritual state of being is simply being present with what is. It's an amazing work. I really believe it's Rudy's work. I really believe it's what we've all studied for all these years. This process of grinding down our resistance, opening to acceptance, opening to the present, and experiencing in our connection with each other this unbelievable reality. The fact that another person exists in your presence is astounding. Who that person is, if you ever can really look at another person and connect with another person, you really begin to know that they are you. What else are you looking at? It is self looking at self. And that's such a scary thing for many people, because we're such confused entities often. We have so little sense of who we truly are that we look at our own self in fear or in passion, but we don't see the self. And what starts to happen when you truly accept the present and the beings that fill that present is you really see yourself. And what comes out of that is an enormous compassion, because you see how hard it is for each of us to just be and accept who we are and accept the other in that. But the truly greatly awakened beings, the great spiritual forces on the planet, are nothing but sources of compassion and understanding and love for the other, because they absolutely see it as themselves. You look at it as yourself. Those of you who are married probably have the sense of this, but the person you're married to is you. It's your other half. And one of Rudy's essential teachings, and I've talked about this a lot recently, one of Rudy's essential teachings is you judge the success of your spiritual life by the happiness of the people around you. And if you are with another person, friend, lover, partner, husband, wife, child, if they're not happy, you're not doing your work. And your work, literally, is make them happy. Whatever it takes, that's what you do. And boy, will you see what resistance is when you try that. Because the ego wants them to make you happy. You don't want to have to make them happy. But your job, spiritually, is them. You do that work, and you will start to break yourself down in so many ways that these openings will occur, these releases of tension, these membranes that separate you from truth will all begin to wear away, and you will suddenly be in the presence of who you are and what you are, which is this, right now, nothing but this. And it's going to change. I mean, we talk about this, you know, it's going to change when you leave here. It's going to change all day long. There will be some experiences of yourself that will be really easy and simple and wonderful, and some will be really difficult and challenging. It doesn't matter. If it's there, it's yours. If it's there, it's your work. Make that other person comfortable, at ease, open. Be compassionate with them. Give them what they want or need. And sometimes what they want or need is not what you want to give. It's very other than what makes you comfortable. Then you have to feel, what is that? How do I do it? What's my work? And I'll tell you one of the extraordinary things about spiritual practice. If you get really quiet inside, it will tell you what to do. It will tell you. First of all, it will tell you, stop resisting this person. Stop fighting this situation. Stop wanting to run away from it, because you can't run away from anything. It will follow you. Ultimately, you face the thing in front of you, and you get very quiet, and something in you will know what to do. Not only will it know what to do, it'll do it. And it won't even be you doing it. And in truth, it never is really you doing it, but most of us don't know that. It's just happening. It's just unfolding. It's reality is manifesting continually, and you are part of that. And the more you do this work, your spiritual practice, the more the truth of this work will reveal itself to you, and ultimately you'll realize that 24/7 the work you have to do is there when you open your eyes and when you close your eyes, and it's never more than this far away. That's your spiritual practice every day, ongoing, day and night. This is what you do. Open, accept, embrace what is. Today is Rudi's Samadhi. You know, the loss of Rudi for me was the fundamental turning point in my spiritual practice. As long as I had Rudi directly, physically in front of me, I kind of felt I was being taken care of, that it would all work out. It always seemed to me that Rudi was my protector, and I didn't have to do much. When he left, I realized, it's up to me. This is my work. And in truth, it's your work. It's all of our work. You know, none of us are going to be here forever. And we have stuff to do while we're around, and we need to do it. And Rudi's announcement to me as he left, basically, in the act of leaving, was, good luck, kid. You know, he says, your work. You know, he didn't say that literally, but that was the experience I had. You're on your own, but you're never on your own. And one of the miracles of real spiritual connection with the teacher is that Rudi's here for me right this moment. He's never been away, ever. You know, you can see his picture right over here, but that's inside. That's just inside. Rudi is why we're all here, and everyone who's in this room. You know, whether you knew Rudi or didn't know Rudi, he is emblematic of this teacher connection that we all have to something remarkable in ourselves. Whether it looks exactly like Rudi or Nityananda or Nisargadatta, or I mean, it goes on and on, the Dalai Lama, whoever that the emblem is that you have chosen, you carry that inside, and it is alive and real and potent and available all the time. And we sit here honoring Rudi on his samadhi all these years, and it's been a long time. He died in 1973, and here we are in 2010, and we're still sitting honoring this guy. It's pretty remarkable. He left something worthy behind, and he left it not around us so much as in us. And those of you who have come to Rudi after the fact, after he passed away, it doesn't mean that he's not as available to you as he has been to those of us who knew him physically. I've actually met people who've had deeper connections with Rudy who never met him than people I know who did. So it's completely up to you. And again, Rudy is, he's a real being, but he's also, he represents something infinite and eternal, and we're all connected to that. We're all one with that. So thank you guys for coming today in honor of Rudy. I noticed usually people bring a lot of flowers for somebody's, and today everybody brought a lot of cakes and desserts, which is all, you know, it's all literally sweet and wonderful. Rudy would say, at least I think he would say, you know, make this prasad, make this an offering. When you have some of these sweets today, know that you're consuming the sweetness of this extraordinary teacher, and that you brought something to share with others as part of your honoring of that sweetness and that good fortune that we all have, to have someone who stops us in our tracks, who takes our life for a moment out of its normal dramatic obsession and tells us, whoa, wait a minute, there's something else going on here, and it's right here, and if you're lucky, you're going to find it. So thank you again for coming. We will eat downstairs. After we eat downstairs, we'll somehow signal you to go upstairs. We'll go up to the screening room, and we're going to watch some of these videos that were made of Rudy that are absolutely remarkable and wonderful and deeply, deeply present with Rudy. The room is it's going to be very crowded, so no one... There are chairs that you can grab, those of you who need chairs. But a lot of you are going to have to sit on the floor. A lot of us will have to sit on the floor looking like this up at the screen. So it may not be comfortable, but it's okay. Just, it's only for like 45 minutes, and it'll be wonderful. And so we'll do that after lunch. And also, the next 3 weeks there will be class. I'm off to L.A. for 2 months. I'll be back here in the beginning of May. But there will be 3 weeks of classes with Blanche and Arcadi teaching here, and Marty. And feel free to come. You're always welcome. I really try to encourage people to come when I'm not here for a thousand different reasons. But one of them is that working with other parts of yourself is really valuable. Getting used to me is getting used to me. Working with somebody else really makes you work, really makes you find the way to open in a way with a muscle that you haven't opened with before. It's very valuable. So I encourage you to continue. But thank you for the effort of being here today. I am grateful to all of you.